This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 762. My poor power steering is groaning. I don't know what their thesis is. I may revisit that later. Anyways, yeah, my power steering is groaning a little bit. It was groaning several weeks ago, and I'm trying to remember what I did to make it. I think I poured some power steering fluid. So I think I've got some more power steering fluid, and soon I need to pour some more power steering fluid in there maybe and make it happy. Then it was happy for a while, and I apparently have a leak. So I'm gonna have to talk to my mechanic about that at some point. But the steering does still work at this point, so there's no crisis yet. Anyways, been a good week. We've been able to get some things accomplished this week. I'm still grinding through some data, and now I'm trying to figure out how to get it pushed into the appropriate data structures. But at the same time, while we were waiting for some people to confirm some stuff, I did get another little thing accomplished and deployed that needed to be done, and then I was planning on leaving at 2:30 today because I'm still working on the Lion King costume stuff, needed a little extra time. As it turns out, they were ready to harvest expenses this month, so we got that done, and so that's good. So I'm getting away a little later. In addition, it looks like we're going to be moving offices here in several months. Some things need to be refurbed a little bit, and the guys all seem to be excited about that, and, you know, a little bit of modernization. Me, I don't care. So I just need a place to put my little computer, and I can pretty much work anywhere. The first consulting job that I had as a computer consultant, they put me in a back room, I've told this story, where there was a burster that used to take the old tractor-fed legal size paper, and it would knock off those edges, but it would sit over there every morning while I was trying to work, and it would go bang, 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 bang. It was loud, but you know, that's just fine. It's all just billable hours, and of course I got to the place where I would just ignore it. So anyways, yeah, we got some good things accomplished and got our harvest all taken care of, and so that's done for the month, and everything seemed to balance, and everything seemed to get pushed across, and we're probably gonna close cash receipts, tomorrow, and then I think AGWM, the missions department that I work with, is going to be closing probably on Tuesday, so far so good, you know. Looks like everything is puttering forward, which is good. We like things puttering forward. So that's all good. Yeah. Okay, so costumes. I know. I don't know if I mentioned last week that we were doing a Halloween thing for our small groups. And that seemed to go fine. I had talked to a buddy about doing balloon animals when we were planning on doing it on Saturday, and then we had to move because it rained us out on Saturday. In the process of him talking to others about the fact he was doing balloon animals on Saturday, he got asked to do balloon, he and his wife both, at another place, so they already had an appointment on Tuesday. So we lost our balloon animals, but you never know how things are going to work out. you just don't know. And maybe the whole point of me asking him to do balloon animals for a thing that would get canceled was then the thing that opened up him doing balloon animals for this other friend. I mean, you never know. So it was kind of fun. I'm looking forward to having breakfast with that buddy, just to kind of find out how the balloon animals went for his Halloween thing. Our Halloween thing started off a little slow. I was getting a little concerned that because we had made 200 bags of candy. So I think our first people started kind of coming by around 6-ish. 5:45 is 6-ish. There was just a few kind of filtered by. But then it started picking up. It was chilly. It was down in the mid 30s, and then it dropped from there. And once we got the movie playing, which we had a movie playing, then I went ahead and got my jester costume on with my chicken, my inflatable costume where I was riding the chicken. So that seemed to go over well, and I kind of acted as the front person. You know, I'd go out on the main street and wave at people and try to get their attention and all that kind of good stuff. But as it turns out, I think we had the right combination, because we had a movie playing, and the balloon animals would have been great to have. There's no question about that. But as it was, we had a movie playing. I think Transylvania, Hotel Transylvania, kids movie. And chairs set up there so people could sit. And then they had a propane heater, one of those big propane heaters set up so people could kind of warm up. And then they had two fires going. They had hot dogs and they had stuff for s'mores. And then we had our 200 bags of candy, and people seemed to enjoy it. It started picking up, and after it was all said and done, I think the final count was we had given around out somewhere 150 bags of candy, which is good. And each one of them had a little card in it and said, hey, you know, we're Praise Assembly, and if you come to church this next Sunday, we're giving away a Nintendo Switch, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So we'll see how that all works out. But the people who came by really did seem to enjoy it. And the evening was cold enough that they were happy to stand by the fire or stand by the heater and make themselves a hot dog and sit and watch the movie a little bit until, you know, they all got finished up and then took off. So it was nothing to have people lingering around for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, which, of course, that gives you a chance to say hello and chit-chat a little bit and all that kind of good thing. So I think it accomplished what it needed to accomplish. Kind of threw my schedule a little bit cattywampus, but that's okay. I have noticed in my life that everything seems to climb up on top of everything else. You know, it doesn't matter how careful you're planning it, you just get into those times when everything's due at the same time. And so this was one of those weeks. And it wasn't too bad. But I did lose basically anything I was going to do at home on Tuesday night. Plus, Tuesday night was the last day of the month, so when I did get home, I went ahead and did my billing for the month. But the Lion King costume's going well. I just have a little bit more to do. I should be home in plenty of time to get that done. I was planning on leaving at 2:30, and then we did the harvest, and then we looked at the offices, so it's actually about 3:15 right now, but I think I'm good. I got the helmet for supporting the mask done last night and this morning. Got it spray painted this morning, and it seems to work, and yay, you know, all the engineering seems to be right, so now there's just some final touches and a little bit of painting to do and a little bit of fixing to do, and I think we'll be fine. So all that's good. Writing is going fine. I'm about 300 words down. because I was about 300 words down on Sunday night. I managed to get the writing done on Monday night. Didn't do anything Tuesday. Got the writing done last night, but I also have to do writing today, which I normally don't do, but I'll make up, you know, then we'll go from there. And then I just have to make sure that I have enough time to finish the costume up, so. But I think everything's pretty good. I think we're all just pretty good for tonight, so we'll see how this goes. This costume is a little bit more flamboyant, because it's just a full bodysuit. And it's a full bodysuit, and then it has a tulle robe that goes with it that drags around along the ground, so that'll be fun in Walmart. And then, of course, the big Lion King mask, so this'll be fun. It'll be fun. Hopefully people will enjoy it. I have been learning the song that's what it is. And so obviously I've got a little bit more learning to do on that. Yeah, anyways, I'll get it learned by tomorrow. When I'm focusing, might write myself a little cheat sheet too. But that'll be fun. And I expect to make a lot of noise tomorrow in Walmart, which is fine, because I'm going to project and open up the pipes. So that'll be fun. Hopefully people will enjoy it. I think they will. You know, my wife actually has been very complimentary about the mask, and so she seems to think it's all going to be fun too, which is good. My mother-in-law is actually living with us right now because she just had a pacemaker replaced, and so she's recuperating at our house, which we always love having Nana with us. And Nana saw the mask last night, me working along on the helmet that will hold the mask up, and she said, "I want a picture of you working on that." I said, "Okay, Nana, have at it." So she took a picture of me working on it. And so this seems to be pretty popular already. I do have a friend that I have eaten breakfast with a lot of times, and he has gone with me to breakfast on Mother's Day, which is the flouncy little Lolita dress. So I think he's going to be fine, even though this costume is a bit more flamboyant. I have a new friend I'm going to have breakfast with on Saturday morning, but I have spoken with him about costumes, and I think he's going to be fine. He's actually a therapist. So it'll be fun. That'll be our first breakfast together. I think it'll be fun to do that. So it'll be a good weekend, you know, looking forward to it. And once again, truly amazed that it appears everything is on schedule to get this done. You know, you pick a day when you're going to do something, and you're months out, and you're really not sure how all that is going to go together, and somehow Jesus keeps hinting and whispering and, you know, heading you in a direction, and, you know, then somehow it comes together and you end up the right things done at the right time with the right amount. I mean, I did take, it will be basically an hour and a half, and you know, 2 hours yesterday, so I did take off about 3.5 hours. I was close enough that, you know, it was just about 3.5 hours. I needed just to fudge a little bit, but you know, maybe that means I actually get in bed at a decent time tonight and get some extra sleep, which would be lovely. Anyways, so today I came across this article and it made me grin because we've talked multiple times in the past about my little idea of the three waves of science. That men's understanding of the eternal is affected by these three waves of science. Now, there seems to be another wave of science that I hadn't anticipated, and I may have to adjust my knowledge a little bit to say that, okay, at the 2.5 point, but I think we're basically closing in on wave 3. So the idea was, in wave 1, man looks at things around him and is not that impressed, because he really has no idea what he's looking at. So he sees an animal, he takes a bit of clay, he makes a copy of that animal in clay, and he says, okay, there, see, I can make animals. I just don't know how to make them move, but that's probably not that hard. And that's that first idea that, well, God, yes, can do some things that I can't do, but, you know, he's not that farther advanced than I am, and maybe someday I'll be like him. And so it's easy to imagine God within my sphere, and so I'm more than willing to allow that there is a creature that may be more than me. And so then man goes along and starts doing some investigations, and he starts dissecting animals, and he starts seeing what all that stuff in there does, and it's not just goo, and he starts hypothesizing about how the world may work, and suddenly realizes that this is a whole lot more complicated than he thought. And at that point, the people who start realizing that, I think there is this deep aversion to that, because this God, if there is a God, is far more than someone who is just close to what I can do. He is beyond my comprehension. And so then at that point, we look for ways and excuses to replace him, because it's intimidating. And what we rely on at that point is random chance. We just say, oh, well, this stuff all just happened, because we can conceptualize that random chance might have brought this all about. And so we look at microevolution, and then we say, oh, yeah, I'm sure that's how, that explains everything, you know. And so then we just take off, and we decide that, see, you don't need a clock maker, because this random chance defines it. But the farther we get into all of this, as I've said before, that's the second wave. The farther we get into that, this is when the third wave finally shows up. I'm getting my mail. Then we start to see that, in fact, everything is extremely complicated. And in fact, it is so complicated that it is beyond anything that we can imagine. And at that point, you know, hopefully what we come to is an acknowledgement that, you know, wow, there's something else going on here. Now, whether that acknowledgement ends up putting people, whether it ends up putting people in mind of just saying, well, it's spam, what do they call that? Panspermia, you know. That life actually came from somewhere else. Well, that really doesn't solve the problem, does it? You know, just shuffling it off to some unknown, it came from somewhere else, doesn't really answer the questions. But people do that, and they, you know, say, well, it's you know, maybe there's a multiverse, and so there's some way to knock down the fact that there is this extreme complexity that has to have a designer. In that vein, there has been apparently underway an effort to map the human brain and map the cells in the human brain. And I came across an article where the individuals who were doing that have started to publish their findings. And the name of this article, I think this was in the New York Times, by Carl Zimmer, was published on October the 12th, 2023. Researchers identified some 3,300 types of brain cells, an order of magnitude more than was previously known, and only have a dim notion of what most of them do. So, you know, here's the thing that's funny to me always about people contemplating. Oh, looks like my recorder slipped back here. I'm going to move it up here a little bit. People contemplating how the brain works. I came across a little article years ago that noted that when the steam engine was invented, the response from some people was, oh, that must be how the brain works. It must have like steam in it and there's valves and things in there going on. So yeah, that we understand the brain now. No, no, you don't. And then when electricity, you know, was harnessed and motors and things, oh, this must be how the brain works. That's always like the first line. Oh, this is how the brain works. Because for humans, consciousness is such a mystery. And for people who don't want to believe in a designer, it's such a need to figure out how this could possibly have happened that we just seize on any explanation that seems remotely familiar to us. Oh, yeah, that brain's not that complicated. It must just run on electricity. Of course, then the next thing that happens is when we develop the integrated circuits and actually get computing power. Oh, well, see, the brain is just like a computer. No, it's not. No, it's not. And then, of course, the latest thing is neural networks. Oh, see, this must be how that, you know, so. Except now. And I did a podcast on this several years ago where someone was saying, look, what we have been saying is that a neuron is kind of like an integrated circuit that all then makes up this big computer in our head. And what this researcher was saying, yeah, they were saying, no. Or one node of a neural network. And what this researcher I reported on several years ago was saying was a neuron can be connected to, you know, hundreds, I don't know, something, other neurons. And he said it's the wrong way to think about it to say that a neuron is a node in some kind of a neural network. A better way to think about it, which still isn't right, would be to think that of a neuron as being its own network. It is this own really complicated network receiving signals, you know, analyzing, sending off signals to multiple different neurons around it. And what he said was it's more like a network of networks. It's this extremely complicated thing going on. Well, now these researchers, an international team of scientists, has mapped the human brain in much finer resolution than before. Okay? In other words, they're not saying they've mapped everything. They've just mapped it in much finer resolution. The Brain Atlas, a $375 million effort, started in 2017 and has identified more than 3,300 types of brain cells. The researchers have only a dim notion of what the newly discovered cells do. The results were described in 21 papers published on Thursday in Science and several other journals. Ed Lean, a neuroscientist at the Allen Institute for Brain Science in Seattle, who led five of the studies, said that the findings were made possible by new technologies that have allowed researchers to probe millions of human brain cells collected from biopsied tissue or cadavers. It really shows what can be done now, Dr. Lean said. It opens up a whole new era of human neuroscience. However, you know, the doctor went on to say that the Atlas is just a first draft. He said he and his colleagues have only sampled a tiny fraction of the 170 billion cells estimated to make up a human brain. And future surveys will certainly uncover more cell types. Okay, so, you know, in the 1800s, the biologist obviously noticed that there were different kinds of cells. And 1830s, they discovered that the brain cells were remarkably dense explosions of branches. Later generations developed techniques to make other cell types visible under a microscope. In the retina, for instance, researchers found cylindrical cone cells that captured light. By the early 2000s, researchers had found more than 60 types of neurons in the retina alone. They were left to wonder just how many kinds of cells were lurking in the deeper recesses of the brain, which are far harder to study. So these researchers obviously set out to map the brain by inspecting how brain cells activated different genes. And at least 16,000 genes are active in the brain, and they are turned on in different combinations in different cells. So he said the researchers collected brain tissue from several sources, those who died recently, those who were undergoing brain research. When studying fresh brain cell tissue, the scientists attached glass tubes to the surface of the individual cells to eavesdrop on their electrical activity, injected dyes to make out their structure, and finally sucked out the nuclei from the cells to inspect them more closely. So rather than carry out these procedures by hand, the researchers designed robots to work efficiently. The robots have inspected more than 100 million human brain cells so far. I mean, it's fascinating work. You know, the researchers found many new types of neurons, cells that use electrical signaling and chemicals to process information, but neurons only make up about half of the cells in the brain. The other half are far more mysterious. Astrocytes, for example, appear to nurture neurons so that they can keep working properly. Microglia serve as immune cells, and the researchers found many types of new cells as well. They also used some of the same methods to study the brains of chimpanzees, and by comparing the results, they can see how the human brain evolved, different than the primates. So they said previous studies had suggested that the human brain might be distinctive thanks in part to evolving new kinds of cells, but the researchers were surprised to find that all of the cell types in humans' brains matched up with those found in chimpanzees or gorillas. Within those cells, researchers discovered a few hundred genes that became either more or less active in humans than in other apes. Many of those genes are close to genetic switches that turn genes on and off. So, it's really interesting. And Dr. Bakken, one of these researchers, said, it's really the connections, how these cells are talking to each other, that makes us different than chimpanzees. He's a neuroscientist at Allen Brain Institute. Megan Carey, a neuroscientist at the Chaplin Maud Center for the Unknown in Portugal, looked at the staggering amount of new data, and she said, I think this is a tremendous success story. But she also cautioned that understanding how the human brain works would not be a matter of simply cataloging each and every part down to its finest detail. Neuroscientists will also have to step back and look at the brain as a self-regulating system. Quote, there will be answers in this data that will get us closer, Dr. Carey said. We just don't know which ones they are yet. And then Adam Hantman, a neuroscientist at the University of North Carolina who was not involved with the study, said that the atlas would be a big help in researching some kinds of research, tracing the development of the brain, for instance. But he questioned whether a catalog of cell types would elucidate complex behavior. Quote, we want to know what the orchestra is doing, he said. We don't really care what this one violinist is doing at this one moment. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's just really fascinating to watch. But I'm convinced that where this all leads is an eventuality where we learn it is more complex and more complex and more complex and more complex and more complex. And honestly, we get to the point where either we absolutely deny the research and just excoriate anybody who brings up the complexity research, which that's the adjustment to my theory. Maybe there's a wave 2.5 where for a while scientists just refuse to acknowledge the complexity. But once we get to 3, I think it's going to become abundantly clear that all of this is far too interconnected and far too complex to have just wandered in from nowhere. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.